Be seated tonight, if you will, please, and let's go in our Bibles to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. We want to look at two verses, and this is only to, as a jump-off spot, we'll be looking at a number of verses tonight in 1 John and in other places, mostly 1 John. Last week, we looked at the subject of a sin unto death. And we noted that there are some things mentioned in the Bible that will shorten your life. There is a sin unto death. We'll mention some of those again tonight in a moment. There also, the Bible speaks of a sin not unto death. And I think if we weren't careful in studying that, we could come to the conclusion that there are some sins that God would let you skate on. And let me say right off the get-go, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that every sin has to be taken care of. The final consequence of sin is taken care of by Jesus on the cross. But sin in the life of God's people, he has to deal with. He can't just wink and let it go. He can't do that. And so when the Bible says that there is a sin not unto death, please don't read into that that there's some sin you can get away with. Because that's not what it's talking about at all. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 16, this book says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God, for this subject, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to sort through it very carefully. And Lord, biblically accurate. And Lord, with the idea and the motive of glorifying you and bringing honor to your name. We confess we need your help. And we need your understanding. We need your wisdom, your power, Lord, your ability to think. The clarity of thought is such a great thing. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified by the speaking and by the hearing. And then by the way we administer what you give to us. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible talks about a sin that will shorten our physical life. And when the Bible speaks here of death, there is a sin unto death. There's a sin not unto death. That word death is talking about our physical life. There is a sin that shortens physical life, the Bible testifies. And last week we learned some of these things. We looked at several portions of Scripture and looked at some of the many things that are listed there. And we won't go and read all those verses again tonight, but I'll give you the references so you can write them down if you'd like, and then give you the subject of that as we discovered it the other week, and let you have opportunity then to go through that. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we find a sin unto death, and that's the Ananias and Sapphira. You remember they had a piece of property, they sold it, they brought it in, and they said that they had sold it for X amount of dollars, and they had actually sold it for more than that, and they questioned them about it, and they stood by their first story, we sold it for so much, and they were told, you didn't have to give it, you didn't have to do that, but you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that they were more interested in money, I guess, in what people thought they were giving than what they were about what God thought. And the Bible says that he died. And then before very long, his wife came in. She confirmed his story, the lie that he had told. And then she also died. And so we find that there is a sin unto death. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says that we who are saved are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, or the temple of God, excuse me. And the Bible testifies that if any man defile that temple, the Lord will destroy that person. And so we need to understand that our body belongs to the Lord after we're saved. And he says we ought to take care of it. And there's things we can do to our body that we know defile it. They shorten the life of it. They shorten the use of it as we need that body to get around the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to carry it to regions beyond and across the street and to our neighbors and our family members and so forth. without the body, we can't do that. And so the Bible talks about defiling the temple. The third one was in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 1 through 5. And the Bible talked here of a person who had been with his father's wife. And that one should have, the Bible says, that one should have his father's wife. And I believe that's talking about immorality. And the Bible says that that was a no-no. But the problem was, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 5, the instruction was given to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And I believe, again, that there is a sin unto death. And here we find that this man had crossed that, and Paul said he needs to die, deliver such an one unto Satan. But now I want you to note this too, that later it seems like in 2 Corinthians that the Apostle Paul, writing, referring to the same man, says that he had gotten things right. And so evidently this sin that is a sin unto death can be taken care of. Confession of sin brings forgiveness of sin. Sometimes the damage for sin, the payment for sin, sometimes that lingers on. But this man evidently confessed. And the Apostle Paul encouraged the church by saying that they needed to make sure that he wasn't taken by overmuch sorrow, I believe is the word. And so praise God for that. And I hadn't even thought about that last week. And then I want to mention also in connection with this that later the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 18, he says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And I believe that is that he brings that body to a place where it cannot survive as long as God would have it to survive. And I believe, listen, let me share this with you. This is quite a Bible study, but I believe that David died earlier than David had to die because of fornication. I believe that. I believe that he had some type of a sexually transmitted disease. He talked about the loathness of his body and so forth, and I believe he died quicker, earlier, younger than he had to die because he didn't control his passions, and I believe he committed a sin unto death. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we find God going back into the Old Testament and giving us from the Old Testament the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy, or Numbers of Deuteronomy, I believe, and he's rehearsing to us some things that happened back there, and he mentions a number of sins that caused these people to die early because of God's judgment against sin in their life, and God took them out. Now, it doesn't talk about them losing their salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that before God would allow us to go so far that we'd have to lose our salvation, he'll kill us and take our spirit and our soul to heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, he mentions these things. He mentions lust, idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, and murmuring. Those are the things that caught them in the wilderness and caused them all kinds of heartache and all kinds of problems. And so many of them, in fact, is not one adult man except Joshua and Caleb made it from Egypt all the way into the promised land because of those five things. Because of their complaining and their idolatry, their fornication, their tempting Christ. And I thought this was interesting too. And I studied down through that portion of Scripture several times. There's five things mentioned there, five sins. Those sins are lust, idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, and murmuring. Five things. And wouldn't you know, five is the number of death. I see a thumbprint of God on the things of God, the Word of God, and so we rejoice in that. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses 18 through 30, we find God talking about the Lord's table. We've mentioned several times this, that it's the Lord's table. It's a church ordinance, but it's the Lord's table. And the Lord is the one that has the responsibility and the right, the privilege, if you please, of establishing who should be there and observing that, and who should not be observing it. I don't see anything where it says other people can't be there, but I think that it's an observance for that particular local church and no one else. Now, because it's the Lord's table, I take objection when churches decide to change the rules. It's not our table. It's the Lord's table. And the Lord sets the rules for that table. And he says, because they had violated those rules, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. When you want to know a definition of sleep, go to John chapter 11 when he talks about Lazarus being sick, and then finally Jesus plainly says to them, Lazarus is dead. That's what it's talking about. Many sleep. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he talks of honoring and obeying father and mother. He says the result of that is that it might be well with you and you might live long on the earth. Violating that, it might not be well with you and you might not live so long on the earth. Pretty simple for farm boys. Because you don't do right, your life upon the earth can be shortened. Now, we're warned of all these things causing early death. Now, read again with me verses 16 and 17 of our text. The Bible says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, the Bible mentions two types of sin here. It doesn't mention ugly sin and not so ugly sin. It mentions sin unto death and sin not unto death. And this should, I think, relieve the question or abolish the question that people ask sometimes, or people make the statement. You'll hear religious people say, well, all sin is the same. And that's not true. All sin is not the same. Now, all sin, any sin, makes you a sinner. Any sin makes you a sinner. And if you have violated the law in one place, you're guilty of all the law. But the Bible clearly says that there are some differences. Here, for example, it says there's a sin unto death, and there's a sin that's not unto death. There's definitely a difference. And now, when I talk about a difference in sin, I'm not talking about the difference between your sin and my sin. You know, sometimes if we get a little bit uppity, when we do something, it's a mistake, it's an accident, it's something we can't help. But when someone else does exactly the same thing, it's wicked, wrong, and evil. That ought not to be. We ought to have one standard, and we ought to go by that one standard. And so we're not talking about my sin versus your sin. We're talking about sin. Now, some sin in the Bible called for a man to be stoned to death. Another sin would maybe call for a pigeon to be sacrificed, or a turtle dove, or perhaps a lamb, or a bullock, a calf, or some type of a blood sacrifice. But there are sins that call for a man to be stoned to death. So there's a difference in sin, and the way that it was dealt with, and the seriousness in the sight of God, the urgency of getting it taken care of in the sight of God. There is a sin that is not forgivable, the Bible says. The Bible tells us that, now this is not what it's speaking about here. This is not talking about the unpardonable sin, or it's not talking about the sin that can't be forgiven. Not talking about that, but in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, the Bible says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. And so there is a difference in sin. We need to understand that tonight. We You know, people who are living in sin, they want to believe that all sin is the same, and it's not. Now, all sin makes you a sinner, but sin has different penalties, has different outcomes, I guess. Now, in 1 John, sin is mentioned 27 different times. I believe that's right. I believe. And I ask myself the question, do we really understand what sin is? And so we looked up some definitions, and I want to share some thoughts with you about what 1 John says about sin. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." I wonder how many times today you and I did something that required no faith. The Bible says that that's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Whoso committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Another definition of sin. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." And of all the 90-some verses that talk about sin in the New Testament, that's the last one. It amazed me that I didn't find the word sin in the book of Revelation. The last place it's found is in our text. There is a sin not unto death. Now, sin is mentioned in 1 John a number of places. We want to look at some of those places tonight. In 1 John chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's the first place it's mentioned in 1 John. And God wants us to be clean from sin. God wants us to be to have a life that is free to serve him, not encumbered by the repeating of the same sin over and over and over. And so the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. When I find people who don't like fellowship, then I know that I have found someone that is either extremely timid, or there's someone that something is wrong in their life between them and the Lord. We ought to want to be with God's people and fellowship with God's people. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So here the Bible simply says that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We need to understand that we're all sinners. And if we say we have no sin, we're just kidding ourselves. And yet there are people, listen, there are people who believe that you can lose your salvation. And the only thing that could ever cause you to lose your salvation would be sin. And yet they think that they don't sin. And it doesn't compute. We had a Christian school in Colorado Springs, had a couple coming, and they were doing pretty good until a novice became a deacon in the church that he was going to, and all of a sudden he thought with that title he understood the Bible. He asked me if I was sanctified, and I said, "I believe I am." And he said, "When did you get that way?" I said, "The day that God set me apart for something special, I was sanctified." He said, "Oh, no, you don't understand." I said, "I think I do understand." And he said, if you're sanctified, then you can't sin anymore. I said, "So then you can't lose your salvation, right?" He said, "Oh, no, I could lose my salvation." His wife was standing there, and I said, "Well, what causes a person to lose their salvation?" He said, "Sin." I said, "But you say you can't sin anymore." He said, "That's right." I said, "Well, if you can't sin anymore and sin's what causes you to lose your salvation, how in the world could you lose your salvation?" And his wife said, "Yeah, what about that?" He said, "Come on, honey, we got to go. We're running late." You know, the Bible's meant for the common person to be able to understand it. And so praise God for that. In verse number 9, he says, if we confess our sins, plural. And of course, the word confess means to agree with a charge. Don't be arguing with God. God says you're guilty, you're guilty. Now the preacher might say you're guilty, and you can laugh about that. Most people don't laugh, they choose rather to get angry. But when God convicts us that we've sinned, we need to take that as legitimate. We need to understand that God has brought a charge against us. And if we will agree with the charge, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, sin makes us dirty. And confession is how we wash up, how we clean up. Remember one day the Lord was washing the disciples' feet. And Peter said, you're not going to do that to me. Now this is paraphrased, but he said, you're not going to do that to me. And the Lord said, if I don't do this, we have nothing to do with one another. And Peter then said, oh, then not my feet only, but my whole body. Wash me, Lord, from top to bottom. And the Lord says, no, there's no need for me to do that. But he said, as you tarry in this life, as you go through this life, your feet get dirty. And so they need to be washed when they get dirty. And we wash our feet, spiritually speaking, when we confess our sin, believing that God who convicted us of that sin has never made a mistake. And when we confess our sin, whoo, hallelujah, we are made clean again in the eyes of Almighty God. I maybe told this story before, but I was raised on a farm, and we used to put grain into the granary. We didn't have a grain elevator like most farmers do, and some did then, where you just scoop it off the back of a truck or dump it off the truck, and it goes into this elevator, it's carried up and dropped into the... We didn't have that. We put it up there with a number 13 scoop shovel. We were glad when my dad got aluminum scoop shovels, because an aluminum scoop shovel weighs almost as much full as it does empty. A steel scoop shovel weighs as much empty as it does full. I mean, it's just... But we put them up... And the wind... Listen, all you have to do in Colorado to see the wind blow is just unload a load of itch. That's another name for maize or Milo. And they call it itch because when that stuff gets on you, you just can't quit itching. Until Mama says, y'all been working unloading that grain. Said, why don't you go over to the lake and take a dip? You go over the first time in, poosh, you come up, and everybody comes up smiling because the itch is gone. And it's gone because you're clean. And that's what happens when we confess our sin. He that hideth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to confess our sin and know what the Lord's done for us. In verse number 10, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When a person says, I've never sinned, and I've met some people like that. I've never sinned. I've never sinned. And when we say we've never sinned, we make him a liar. Okay, in chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. He said, this book, what was it D.L. Moody said? This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It could have been written off of that portion of Scripture. He says, little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Again, let me say, the advocate assumes that you're guilty. And he does the best job he can to get you off as best you can, best he can. A lawyer is supposed to find you innocent. No. An advocate takes off of the position you're guilty. And so if any man sin, knows he's guilty, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then verse 2, and he is a propitiation for our sins. He takes care of our sin, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now let me say this for the racist. When he talks about the whole world, he's talking about every color, every creed, every geographical location, every people, in every place. God is not a respecter of persons, and he died for the sins of the whole world. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 12, the Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Are forgiven. We can know that our sins are gone. Now the devil will keep reminding us of the things we've done in the past. Someone says, when the devil reminds you of your past, you need to only remind him of his future. I think that usually takes care of it. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We talked about that a while ago as part of the definition of sin. Verse 5 says, And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Manifested, made to be seen. The reason Jesus came and took upon himself the form of a human flesh, the reason he was manifested was to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Verse number 6 of chapter 3 says, And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but the Bible testifies that whoso abideth in him sinneth not. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, there's a part of you that does not sin. And that's the only way you can understand the Bible and come out with all the parts fitting. In chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says, He that committeth sin is of the devil, but the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Before I was saved, I was a living body, a living soul, and a very dead spirit. When Jesus Christ came into my life by the presence of the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit touched my dead spirit and made it live. That's what the new birth is. I was born again. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells with my spirit, so that my spirit cannot sin. Now my flesh can, and I can die early. But my spirit cannot sin. Praise God for that. And then he tells us in chapter 4 and verse number 10, Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The garbage can cover, the payment for, the taker care of, the remediator of, the excusing of, the... He just took away our sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then we come to our text, verse number 16 of chapter 5. And the Bible says, If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. And then notice in verse number 18, the Bible says, We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. You see, the devil can beat the fire out of me. The devil can call people, adversaries to come, and the people that are laboring for him to beat up my body, and they can try to discourage my soul, but the wicked one cannot touch my spirit. I'm safe. I'm saved. I possess the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and trusting in him. And that agrees with chapter 3 and verses 6 through 9, which we talked about a while ago. So God, in one book of the Bible, talks about that us having an area that cannot sin, talks about that at least twice, wanting us to take care of it. And then the Bible testifies in, let's see, That is it. Verse number 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And I wrote some time ago in the margin of my Bible, the war is not between Satan and me, but it's between Satan and my Savior. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And so today we are an overcomer over sin because of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Not because of our determination, not because we're, you know, super spiritual and do all these spiritual exercises and so forth. I think we have a responsibility. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Jesus was manifested to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, the sin not unto death. What is it? We'll look at that next time. Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for how plainly you talk about sin. Lord, 27 times in the book of 1 John, 27 times out of 90 times in the New Testament, you mentioned it in 1 John. And Lord, you talk about the victories we can have and the victory you want us to have. And Lord, we know that when we allow ourselves to get into sin, we're playing Russian roulette, really. We're playing games with you. And Lord, we just never prosper when we're doing that. And so I pray that you'd help us to be honest with ourselves and then honest with our friends. Lord, not in a hoity-toity way, not in a high and mighty way, but Lord, out of concern and compassion and love for you and love for them, may we share these biblical truths with the people we know and love. Help us, my Father, to have victory in our lives that others might see us and glorify you, see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's our hope. That's our prayer. That's our aim. We'll thank you for that possibility. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's